Okay, so if we should just start, if you can say your name and when you were born.
Doreen Spiers, S-P-I-E-R-S, and I was born the 3rd of the 4th, 1928.
Okay. Mm. And you, when you were born, your family lived on King Street?
In King Street, yeah.
Okay. And how long did you live there, personally?
Till I was 20 when I got married.
Okay. And where did you move to after that?
Oh, it was still in Cheltenham. It was still in Cheltenham. I was in Presbury Road in a basement because at the end of the war you couldn't get anywhere to live. So I was in a basement in Presbury Road. And
that's where I live now.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then I managed, because I got three children. Well, I had two children and I was expecting my third. And so the council eventually gave me a new house down in Village Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there until my daughter was 20. Because
mm-hmm.
she was born in 1950. And then I had to move up to St Mark because my husband was ill and we needed two downstairs rooms for him to have a bedroom downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Evesham for 2 years
mm-hmm.
because I married my second husband. And then I came back to Spencer Road. And then when I was on my own, because he died, I had to downsize. So I went to Springbank.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm here in shelter accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's so you've been in Cheltenham all your life then? All around it?
All around
much,
it, yeah. I worked in Marks and Spencer's.
Okay, yeah, Joan told me she worked there as well, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, we all did, yeah.
Yeah. So when you were a child and you were growing up on King Street, so if I ask you about that period of your life before the war, what do you remember mainly from that period?
We went to school at the parish, which was just by St James's railway station,
mm-hmm.
and because I never concentrated, because I was looking at the engines turning round, because they had a turntable,
right?
And but so we had to walk there, and I was normal really until the war came, and I was away at my aunt's down in Portsmouth when war was declared,
mm-hmm.
and my mother rang up and said, send her home with one. And through the war years, until I went to work at 14 at Marks and Spencer's, I was at the senior school at Christchurch. They were both church schools. And I went there. Then I don't know whether this is relevant, but Miss King, who was headmistress of Christchurch School,
mm-hmm.
was a Scots lady, very big. And when she went down the corridor, it shook. And she came into my sister Joan was in 3A and I was in 3B because I was a dunce. and she came in and she said, who's leaving this time? And me and another girl put her hands up, and she asked the other girl, where are you going to work? She said, I don't know yet. So when she asked me, I said, Marks and Spencer. She said, never in this world, they won't have you. But I proved her wrong.
And you got a job there.
Well, my aunt got me a job, because I wouldn't have been able to go in there if it hadn't been for the war.
Mm.
You know, because I was a dunce.
So you started working during the war?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I was there until I was 20. And
got married?
Yeah.
Right.
And I stayed there after I got married. And they more or less educated me. They sent me to night school and stuff, you know, so they brought me back out. And I finished up as a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss King came into the shop one day, and I would have loved to have gone up to her and said, this is Doreen Parker, and you said I wouldn't get anywhere, but I wouldn't dare.
<You're still laughs>
I'd have got the sack.
Right.
But during the war, my father couldn't join the army because he'd had meningitis when he was 11. And although he was all right, he took all his memories away. You could teach him at night, but by the morning it was gone.
He'd gone.
And he was a good gardener, and he had an allotment down Folly Lane. And we always used to have to pick up, well, I did, they didn't, I did. I had to go round on a Saturday morning and pick all the pig's wash from the houses, put it into a big bin and take it down to Folly Lane where my father had pigs and all the rest of it. So we weren't very bad off as far as food was concerned during the war, because we had rabbits and hens and eggs and everything, you know, mm-hmm. So we weren't too bad off that. But we had to go, when we first started going for air raids, we went to the brewery and we went down into their cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Until my mother suddenly realised that there was 8 concrete floors above her. Never again.
Yeah, because if that comes down.
And so then we went to the allotments because my dad had a boiler there that he boiled all the pigs full up, so it was nice and warm, and so he put some seats in there, and so we used to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what about before the war, when you were a child growing up, what memories have you got of being a child in King Street?
Oh, we played in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite normal, but the area, as you say, have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of King Street there was what was called Lusty's, which was a hardware store, but he had one of these big fans. If you see him on the television in America, where they go round the country with all the things on the pots, pans, kettles, everything. And he used to go around the country like that, and he was on the corner of King Street. So we knew him, mm-hmm. and we used to go in there as well. And then there was Davis's fruiters, and we used to go there and say, any specks? Anything with a little bit of mould on or anything. They couldn't sell, they'd give us to him so that we could cut that out and then we could eat it. But that was the only way we could get any fruit.
Okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a faggots and peas shop, which your mother always used to give you a jug, and you'd go down and you'd get faggots and peas and come back and have your tea. And my mother always had hens to clean and pluck for Christmas to make ends meet. And my grandmother lived in 2 streets down. So when I was born, my mother went to work at the laundry down where St Paul's Hospital is now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the workhouse. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard some people used to call it the Spike.
Probably. And then there was the laundry with that. And then next to that, there was a great big building that was an orphanage. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
And one of my aunts worked there, and because it was just opposite. And so my mother always just used to pick me up, take me to my grand's, go to work, come back, pick me up, take me home. But when she helped my other 2 sisters, she couldn't do that.
Mm.
So when we were at school, she she went back to work. But we just used to play in the street, and there was 2 pubs in it. You know there's 2 pubs?
On King Street?
Yeah. There's one on the corner where St Paul's College is.
Right.
And there was one in the middle of the street.
Okay.
And then there was another one down in the high street. So there was 3 pubs.
A lot of pubs.
A lot of pubs, yeah. And during the war, before the war, my mother worked at the St Paul's College as a chambermaid. because that was easy while we were at school.
Mm-hmm.
And but all of us used to just play, and we used to go down to at Gardner's Wreck. Have you heard of At Gardner's Wreck? Down by Pitfield.
Okay.
The children's part was at Gardner's Wreck.
Okay.
And we used to go down there and play on the swings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always take the babies. I always took the babies out for a walk.
Right.
So we and then we take them.
Was
down
that was that because you were the eldest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when they were in pushchairs, you know, we take them down, put them on the swings, and bring them back. And we also, my grandfather had a market garden at Presbury, and when we were in school and we were on school holidays, we walked from King Street to Presbury. And it, do you know the Presbury Day Centre?
Yeah.
Well, that, and part of that, that was the whole of his market garden.
Right.
There. And so he had pigs and everything there, and the horses. And we used to have to go up and pick the fruit and get it all ready for the market the next day. So you're there all day, and then you walk back home again. And then on holiday times, we used to go up to Cleve Hill, and because we could catch the bus up to Presbury, and then you walked up to Cleve Hill.
Yeah.
And we used to go up there on Good Friday and have a picnic and everything. And my great-grandfather was jockey to the Fred Archer who rode the Golden Miller.
Okay.
And he lived up Mill Lane, which was part of Cleve Hill, but he was up there, and there were just three cottages up there. And it was a two up and two down, and 11 children.
In four rooms? Yeah.
And and we used to go up there haymaking, and I can remember, I think I was probably about 7, and Dad was up there and they were haymaking, and I was in the hay wain and just sitting. And the horse got bit by a horse fly and just went. And I was going boom, 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 and screaming the place down. And my dad was running up by the side and said, "Shut up, you silly so and so, you're making him worse." No sympathy, mm-hmm. you know. Just, but we always did that, mm-hmm. and every year.
Would you say that where you grew up, the people, do you remember the neighbours you had and everything?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Would you say that the area was poor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were. And I know the pubs did well, but we weren't too bad because Dad kept us in food. But he never bought us a present. Money you did not get off him.
Mm.
You could have fruit or whatever. And we used to walk down and to Folly Lane and help him do his stuff. And all the garden allotments were open as you came up, and you should walk right in there. There's a lovely row of red currants, and so you pick some as you went, as you went by. And rhubarb. My dad had four big dustbins, and he did every one every year. So he forced rhubarb. You take a piece of rhubarb, and he knew exactly what you'd done, because he knew everything about it. And but you could take a piece of rhubarb and just eat it as it was, as you came home, you know, and you walked all the way up. And but that, you know, we enjoyed ourselves to a certain extent, but we certainly didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything to play with or anything, you know. You were your own. You had to make your own things.
And I suppose, therefore, you know, in the 1930s, the war wasn't that different either. What then, was it really?
No.
In that sense?
No, not in that sense, because But there were, you know, we were in a little house, and there were two great big houses in mm-hmm. King Street, and so we were in the middle of them, and a Mrs. Cox lived in the big one, and they were very posh.
Yeah?
Yeah, they had come down, you know, and they were very posh, and they taught me to speak properly. But
so that's interesting. So there was a kind of well-to-do family
in our street.
Okay.
But, you know, you didn't know anything about them, but...
Did they keep apart?
A little bit. But I went in there because when the daughter was working, I went in and took the dog for a walk.
Okay.
So, but I was allowed in, but not in.
Okay, just a little bit.
yeah, just I could go into the old lady and talk to her. But when the daughter came home, you didn't go in.
So why didn't they let you in?
I don't know whether they were ashamed that they'd come down in the life.
Because they had to move into the area.
I wasn't old enough to know anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Were they still there after the war when you were a bit older?
Yeah. The old lady died. And then I think after the war she moved out, because she went somewhere else. But I couldn't tell you exactly what, because they never told you anything.
Yeah, because from what I understand, most of the people living in that area were very much like your family. You know, they lived on very little.
Yeah, because my uncle, my mother's brother was in Devonshire Street, and my grandparents were down in St. Margaret's Road, at Crabtree Place,
mm-hmm.
and... my aunt lived in Haverford Place, and, you know, we were all together, because my aunt lived next door, my sister, my mother's sister. And again, they pretended they were well off, because they only had one child, whereas my mum had three, so we were very poor.
you had to make it go a lot further, didn't you? Yeah. Food and stuff.
Yeah. Especially clothes. And I don't think my sister Joan has ever forgiven me, because I always had the new clothes. And then it was handed down.
Handed down, right.
And,
because that way you'd only need one size, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, I bought the, you know, they bought me the new coat. And then when I wore it for 18 months, Joan was then the same size as me, so she went to it.
Mm.
And then by the time it got to Mary, I think Mary was spoiled, because she managed to get another one, I think.
Right.
But we were always turned out well for Whitsun. We had little hats, new dresses, white shoes and white socks, and you went to chapel. And we were always turned out like that. But then on a Sunday afternoon, after we'd come home from Sunday school in the morning, had our dinner, in the afternoon we'd come home, have our tea, and then we'd walk to Presbury, the three of us in the front, and my mum and dad in the back, and all we got was, pick your feet up, don't slouch. By the time you got to Presbury, you were walking like a soldier. But that was my dad. But my mum was a bit softer. But, I mean, it was very difficult. There was three of us in a very small room, and we were three of us in a three-quarter bed, but no room for clothes or anything, you know, and no hot water, and the loo was outside.
So all the water had to be heated up.
On the kettle, and we would come home from Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon, and we would have to wash either celery or watercress in cold water for their tea, and it was always me, because they disappeared, and we had bread and butter and cress or whatever for tea, and it was, you know, it was a, I suppose you didn't realise any difference, not then.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I started going out to work that I realised, you know, other people were different.
Mm.
Because those, we were all different, all same there. But did you, have you been told about the bomb in the street?
Well, a few people have told me different stories about...
bombs.
Yeah, so the one near the cinema, behind the Ritz, which was closer to you.
Yeah, the one, it was our street.
Mm-hmm.
It was right in the middle of our street. We were all clear, had gone. It wasn't a very bad raid, so we hadn't gone anywhere. And it was daylight, and we were all out in the street, because everybody came out in the street to make sure everybody was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad had his tin hat on, and because he was in the territorials. And we were all out there talking, and he looked up and he said, "Oh, there's a plane up there, must be one of ours." And then we went on talking, and then he said, "Crikey me, it's a Jerry, and he's coming at us." And he dive-bombed us, and we all dived into our houses, and we had a big table in the sitting room, and he said, "Under the table." So I got under the table that side. He came in last, shut the door, and put his head underneath the table with his tin hat on and knocked me out.
Really?
Yeah.
He clashed heads, yeah.
Yeah, we clashed. It was only for a second or two. But, and that landed right in Swindon Road, or St Paul's Road, with, because of the St Paul's College being there, it was all open.
Mm.
So it only made a big, it didn't even break the windows of the pub and the house on the corner. It just went straight up, and in the echo you will get a picture
of that. Yeah.
I used to have a book with it in, but moving twice I've lost it.
Mm.
And but they've got the archives of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but we, if that had gone into our street, we would have all been killed. Mm. Because it's such a narrow street, as you know.
Yeah.
So, but that was that one.
So you said that it was only when you started working that you started to realise how different perhaps the way you lived,
yeah,
to other people in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So you didn't leave the Lower High Street area very much, apart from when you came to see your grandfather in Prestbury.
Yeah.
So you didn't go to other parts of the town, like the promenade or...
You couldn't go to the promenade because there was a gate.
So this is when you were a child?
Yeah.
You couldn't go?
You couldn't go up there.
And
until they took the gates down for the war.
Okay, no, right.
And then my dad took me up to the Queen's Hotel because they always had the fox hunt there where they all met. And he took me up there one day. And so then we could walk up the prom.
Okay.
But you weren't allowed up the prom.
So... What would happen if you tried to go to the prom and the gate was there?
Well, the gate was locked.
So who was allowed in?
Well, people who lived up there.
Right.
Because there were mostly houses where... Carpenter House and that, they were all houses originally.
Mm-hmm.
And the bowling green was there then. And I play on the bowling green now. And I used to walk past that as I went up to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was big shops on the bottom, but they, you know...
Did your mum and dad ever talk to you about the people in that part of the town?
Well, yeah, because we were all relatives, so we all talked together.
Mm-hmm.
And because part of my grandmother, apparently, was part of a gypsy family.
Mm.
And my mother's mother. And so they all used to come in, and when it was hop picking time, my dad took us out on the horse and cart to see them where they were doing hop picking. And my grandmother's sister lived in the Moors Avenue. And when I was at school at Christchurch, we used to have to come down to, it's built on now, but there was a playing field there. And that was our, because Christchurch School didn't have any playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to walk down to there
right.
to play hockey and stuff, you know. And I used to, during the war, I used to have to, before I started work, I used to have to go down to the coal yard to get coal. Have you heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
And the coal yard went from Ware Range is, straight right the way through, by the side of the railway lines.
Okay.
To Arle Road. You could get in either way. And
did they start delivering it with a horse and cart as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did that originally, but if you ran out,
you had to go and get
You had to go and get some more, and you could get it free down there.
So when you started working at Marks and Spencer's, what was your impression of what other people from Cheltenham felt about people in your area? Did you tell them, oh, I live in the Lower High Street?
Well, I mean, we were all more or less part of, because the people from the Lower High Street, apart from a few from Rowanfield or somewhere, they all lived in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And but I learnt that some people have bedrooms of their own.
And that was new to you?
Yeah. Oh, that was new to me. And they had a proper dining room and a piano and, you know, all sorts of things like that that you never knew before, because nobody in our street had a piano.
Mm.
And
you didn't mix much with people from other areas?
No, no.
You wouldn't see somebody who lived in... on the prom come into...
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. No, because they were all too posh. They were retired colonels and things, you know, from that. Bet you've been told that. But it was, you know... I suppose we were happy, although I was a dunce. And we had spinning tops and things like that. And we never had any roller skates. We had to borrow roller skates if we wanted them. But some of the children had roller skates. Some of them had scooters. But, you know, it was...
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a doll's pram. I was the only one in our family that had a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it until I was about 16. And then it got broken and I cried my eyes out.
Well, you had it all your life. Yeah.
Because any presents that we had came from relatives. And the Presbury lot were very posh because they were all in service at the Delabere Hotel or any of the vicarages that were really posh vicarages. They, because of being in Presbury, they were all in service there. So they thought they were a little bit... above us.
So there was a big class divide in Cheltenham, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. And my mother said that my father's family never accepted her.
Because they thought she was...
Yeah, because she came from Lower Dockham.
Mm. Yeah, so you called it Lower Dockham as well.
Yeah.
Now, some of the people that are of a slightly younger generation, so I've spoken to a few people that were born during the war.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that for them, Lower Dockham was further down. It wasn't where you lived. They thought it started after the bridge and it was where they're going towards the gasworks.
Well, we just accepted that that's who we were.
Mm.
You know, we didn't have any dividing line.
Mm.
As far as we were concerned, it started from where the Bowling Green was.
Yeah. And it carried on?
It carried on right the way down to the Moors Avenue, down into Tewkesbury Road.
Right, so it was all Lower Dockham then.
It was all Lower Dockham then, right. Yeah. But I suppose it just depends what your parents told you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
you didn't really have to go outside of the area very much. You had everything you needed there.
Mm.
All the shops sold everything you needed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember?
Fish shops and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And it, as I said, there was a ladies' hairdresser on the corner of Devonshire Street and then a gentleman's hairdresser where the pub is in High Street, mm-hmm. the Irish pub. And there was also, you know, there were shops everywhere. And you didn't need to go shoe shop at Adcock's shoe shop. We all got our shoes from there.
Yeah.
And
you had your, I've heard there were loads of butchers.
Oh yes,
all along.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, butchers, and right from the bottom, because it was Manners, and then Manners was down the bottom by the ice cream place, and I've forgotten the name, but she, his wife was a little tiny lady, and oh boy, because it was at the bottom of Hereford Place that came out onto the high street, because there's two alleyways, you know those two, do you?
Mm-hmm.
But where the cinema was.
Yeah.
And the one alleyway was part of the butcher shop.
Okay.
And we always used to watch a man making sausages in there. And wanting, you know, saying, can I have some sausage meat? And, but she was very strict. But I've forgotten what their name was now. But there was Manners. And
but you had your bakeries, your...
Yeah, oh, definitely. Your fish grocery, shop. Your fish shop. Yeah, the McFisheries was on the corner there, where the pub is now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the corner there.
Yeah.
And, we had mostly everything you needed there.
And how did things change in the area after the war? I mean, your sister told me something about the street parties when the war ended.
Oh, yes, the street parties when the war ended, yes.
Yeah, every street had its own one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you didn't mix.
Mm.
Because the next street up, that had another pub on the corner, and then with the St. Paul's Street had haberdasheries on the corner,
mm-hmm.
and she went to she was a Sunday school teacher, and I got most of my stuff from there when I got married, because she had stuff that I could, but that was after the war.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still on coupons, and we just took it as normal,
mm.
which people do if you don't do anything else. I mean, I knew my grandfather was in a great big house up in Prestbury, but my father's brothers are gone into the army, and his sisters were all in service. So the only one I got to know was the youngest one, mm-hmm. who stayed at home and looked after Grampy.
Right.
But when the war was on, she had to have lodgers because it was a big house.
Right.
And, but my brother, I suppose Mark Joan told you, my brother was born when I was 14.
Yeah.
And we had to go to live with them because we had a two up and two down, and there was no hospitals or maternity wards. So we had to go up there and live up there while Albert was born. So I had to, I was working in Marks and Spencer's then, and I had to ride a bike from Windsor Street down to the allotment, feed the pigs in one of them, and then go to work all day, go down to the allotments, feed them all again, and come back up to Prestbury, because Dad went to work straight up to cemetery,
mm-hmm.
so he didn't have to go down there. At night he went down and did all what should have been done, but I had to do that every day I went to school.
Wow. So you were busy.
Oh, was I? And that's why I said, I think Mary got out of all that, because, you know, it wasn't happening by the time she got to that age. But but as I said, I was a dunce, so I was a bit backward. I think in those days they didn't bother, because I can remember once in school we had a Miss Mullins, a headmistress, and I was in the top class of the parish school, and she said, "What is a female peacock called?" And they all put their hands up, and none of them knew. And she never embarrassed me by asking me a question. But I didn't know that I was sat there with my hand up. And so she said, "Well, all right then, Doreen. What is a female peacock called?" I said, "A hen." And they all looked at me. "Well, we kept hens." I mean, to me, that was stupid. Because, you know, it was a stupid answer, but I put my hand up, so I thought I got one over on them that time, but I never did anything else.
So, when after the war, so you've been working at Marks and Spencer a few years. After the war ended, and I've heard from a few other people that, you know, gradually people started to earn more money, get more work, so there was more money around. Mm. Did you notice the area change in any way when you lived there after the war?
Not really, I don't think. Probably there was more money around and people were better dressed because I got married in 1948, which was just after the war.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more interested in my family because my mother still lived there. And then when I had my first child in the 1950, I was living in Prestbury Road. So I just used to walk down there every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you used to go back there a lot
after
you moved out. Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's difficult to know. I did write some of it down, just in case I forgot. But did you hear about the attack on the gasworks?
No.
The bombs?
Not the bombs on the gasworks, no.
You didn't?
No.
Well, there was two streets opposite the gasworks. They had a bomb in each and they were completely devastated. But one bomb dropped on the gasometer and it was a pall of flame.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the allotment and we could see them, everything going on. And then this ball of flame came towards us. And my dad said, "Whoops, we've had it." But it had got onto the railway line and it came right the way down the railway line at the end of the allotment and it passed us and it went straight through. And we were just,
narrow escape.
Yeah, but that was a bad one. But mostly all we got was bombs that they wanted to get rid of before they went home.
Yeah.
After they've been to Coventry.
Just emptying them, yeah.
But yeah, to empty them so they don't have to go take them home or land with them. So that was the only times that we got any bombs, really. But that was... And we were coming back up after the all clear and we're coming up from the allotment and we go through Crackley Place. There's a little alleyway that from Folly Lane and we got there and my dad said, "There's nobody about."
Mm.
They went back to bed quick. And then we got further forward and he said, "There's something crunching underneath my boots." And we got to the end before it went into Marquess Road and there was a policeman there. And he said, "Where the hell did you come from?" He said, "The allotment." He said, "There's an unexploded bomb down there." And we walked through it. But then we came on home. But... it was, you know, you just lived it. I can't think of anything else, really.
Mm. So in the years after you left the area, I mean, part of the reason we're doing this project is because that part of the town,
mm-hmm.
as kind of, it seems, has always been regarded as the poorer end of town, the shabbier end of Cheltenham. So when you left the area and you lived, I think you moved to Prestbury and then you moved to...
Well, Prestbury Road.
And then, yeah. So did you understand what other people from Cheltenham thought about that area? I mean, because many people still think now that that is...
Well, it's better than it was.
Mm.
By a long way.
Yeah.
Because with the coal yards and everything there, there was no houses there then. And, but I was always in the area. But having moved into a brand new house was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
First, I had no furniture and I had no carpets, but I had a house.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing. And, my one aunt, well, I had... pitch floor in the sitting room, which the council put in. And my aunt was changing her carpet in her sitting room.
Mm.
And my mum said, why don't you ask her if you can have it? And I said, all right, Auntie Dolly, you know, what are you going to do with it? Oh, she said, you can have it if you like. No wonder, it was almost threadbare. But my husband turned it over and painted it with a carpet paint, and we had a green carpet. Mm. You know, that was the first time we had a carpet.
Yeah.
And but we just took it as normal. We just didn't bother about it. And I certainly didn't get into debt for anything.
Yeah.
That was the one thing my mother always told us. What you can't afford today, you can't afford tomorrow. If you want something, you save up for it. Mm. Because if you have it on hire purchase, by the time you've finished, you pay twice as much for it, and you're still no better off.
Mm. So in the years that after you left, did you notice that the lower high street area changed?
Oh, yeah,
changed?
It changed, yeah.
Mm. How did it change?
Well, I mean, the shops closed and other things came in because of Mr. Nelson, the hairdresser, he died.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then so therefore, and also, and Lusty's changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big, when Davis's closed, there was a big fruitery shop on the corner of Devonshire Street there, and that was a huge one, and it did just sort of alternate, and when it happens, you don't really take no notice.
Yeah, it just kind of happens.
You know, oh yes, that's gone, oh well, that's, you know. But because I went back every day, practically.
Yeah.
And because of taking the children into town. And then two of my children went to, because there wasn't another school out at Arl. Two of my children had to come into town to St. Paul's for school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still, but that area of St. Paul's was really bad.
Yeah.
That area of St. Paul's was really bad.
In what way?
Well, it was Hudson Street, Mansour Street, and they were really like Johnson's. You know the Johnson's?
I think I've heard somebody mention
that. The Johnson family were real bad ones, and they were thieves, and, you know, and the whole family, it spread out. And Mansour Street and Street. That was down by Ag Gardener's Wreck. So you had to be very careful.
Mm.
And they would take the shoes off you if they could.
Yeah.
So that was worth that. I think probably what was happening at the bottom end came up to there into new houses. Because, you know, they took them out before they built more in, and so they'd built them there, and so they would transfer to there. It's like Wadden. Mm. Wadden was the same. So it was wherever they went, they made it bad.
Mm.
And but we just didn't take no notice of it. I suppose it didn't affect us because it didn't actually attack us.
Mm.
But we knew it was there.
Right.
And you didn't.
So was the area safe?
Reasonably, yes. Mm. You had to walk over drunks.
A lot?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, before the war. With the three pubs.
Yeah, it was surrounded by
pubs. Especially when I was 14 and I was going out. They were quite strict. I couldn't go out very much in the evenings. But if I did, you walked over them as you were coming home at 10 o'clock. You know, and my dad, and I grumbled like mad. What's these people? And my dad said, "You're all right, love." He said, "Well, they're like that. They're not going to hurt you, are they? They haven't got the energy to hurt you."
Yeah.
But it was just normal. But we had some people. I don't know where it was, in town, but they had a factory, the munitions factory. And some of the people from the forest, they, their girls came up to Cheltenham to work in college and in service.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the war came, they had to go into munitions. And Mum knew them, so they used to come for tea and everything because they didn't live here. And they all had red hair because of the musician, you know, the stuff. And so then we started going to the forest because they invited us back out there. On a Sunday afternoon, we'd go on the bus, head with to the forest. And that's the first time we ever left Cheltenham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The image I get of the Lower Dockham area is that it was very almost like a village. Because everybody
knew everybody.
And not many people needed to leave the area for very much.
No, we didn't. Unless you, because I mean, if you worked, you just worked in Cheltenham, or you worked on the railway, or you worked in the coal yard, or you worked on the gas works, and you know, and everybody in the allotments all knew each other, and they helped each other.
So you say you still go to the Bowling Green?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Bowling Green.
So how do you feel when you see the street now, when you walk down it now? I mean, you've seen it every day, but yeah.
Well, it doesn't affect me really because I don't actually live there, but I can see the changes, and some of them for good and some of them aren't. So it's a mixture. But my sister Mary rang me up one day and she said, King Street is up for sale, you know, our house. She said, well, would you like to go and have a look? She always used to do that. And I said, oh, well, all right. And I walked in there and I just could not believe that five of us lived in that room. It was about this big.
Yeah, really small.
Yeah.
And then you had
the table in the middle. So you just had two armchairs there and stools around it. And that was your lot.
Mm.
When you played underneath the table.
Mm.
And, oh, my mother did get a piano once, and she sent me for lessons. And I was supposed to practice every day.
Yeah.
But my sisters were playing under the table. My mother was reading the echo to my father, and I was supposed to be practicing.
Mm.
Well, you just listen. You don't take any notice of what you're doing. You listen to what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I never did have a very good concentration. I still haven't got very good concentration because of what I was like. But
well, you've got a very good memory, Doreen.
It's because it's part of my life now.
Mm.
But, you know, and I worked in a fish and chip shop after work because saving money to get married. Because my husband was sent from Lowestoft,
right,
as an evacuee. Well, he wasn't an evacuee really. He was old enough to go to work, and so he was sent up to walk across Wellers to work, and so I met him then, and then he went into the army for 4 years, and then when he came out, we got married, but. I mean, it was quite nice, actually, once the war was over, because we had all the soldiers coming back. I mean, it was lovely. And the Americans used to have dances out at Ellenwood, and they'd send in a bus for the ladies, for us girls to go out to do the dancing.
Yeah.
And all the sailors, the soldiers were coming back from Italy and everything, you know, and they had all these badges and everything that they give you, and you had a good time, even though my husband was abroad. Well, my boyfriend was abroad, but my dad thought I was awful, but you just enjoyed yourself, and there was no harm in it, and I used to go to the town hall for the old time dances, and I did that after I was married, because he worked as a service engineer, and so he was away all week, and so once a month when he came back, at the weekend, he looked after the kids while I went dancing. And
do you remember the first time that you went on to the promenade?
That when my dad took me, when I went up to see the horses.
Right. And it was the first, and how old were you then, do you think?
About 8, 9.
Okay, so you'd never seen it before?
No. And I'd never seen those gardens.
Yeah.
And
it must have felt like a very different place.
Oh, it was, yeah. And we'd never been up far enough to be in the Montpellier Gardens, because you just didn't do that. And because, again, it was all, there was things
was
up
gated
there.
Gated up.
Yeah, yeah. And but gradually it opened up. And fortunately, our doctors was on the promenade, so we went up there regularly. But it was just normal. You just just did it. But
did you ever? Last thing I'm going to ask you. When you started, you were a bit older. Were you ever ashamed to tell somebody that you were from Lower Dockham?
No.
Did you know of other people that were?
Yes.
Mm. Why do you think they were ashamed?
Well, they thought that they were a bit better. I never did. I am me. I was always me, and I knew I was no good, so it didn't really matter to me what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And because some of the girls did then come into Marks and Spencer's from there, and as soon as they started earning money, they were up, and they were in high heels, and I never wore high heels.
Yeah.
And they dressed up and they moved out as soon as they possibly could.
Yeah.
But most of us were quite happy down there, and and I met even when the new houses started going up, I met quite a few people. Because when I had the 3 children small, I used to walk from Village Road into town with the 3 of them on the pram.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was walking up there all the time. And I suppose really the change doesn't hit you because it's so normal, you know, gradual. Whereas Joan probably noticed it different. Because she was away.
Yeah, she went away and then came back.
Yeah, she was down at Catterick and then she was in Singapore, so she came back.
Mm.
So whether she did see any big difference, we did have a little bit of problem in as much as we did used to look alike. And she came on leave and she came, I called in at Mum's. And she said, I've got a bone to pick with you. I said, what's that? She said, my friends have said they've spoken to me and I didn't answer them. So we made a pact that whoever spoke to us, we answered, whether we knew them or not.
Okay.
Because her friends I wouldn't know and my friends she wouldn't know. But we had to make a pact that, and we were in Marks and Spencer's and she was on the provisions and I was on the biscuit counter by the door. And some of the customers would come saying, you got there quick. You know, we were that much alike. We don't now, but we are a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
But, you know, from that point of view, but...
Is there a name that you called the people from your area? Did you call yourselves, you know, Lower Enders?
Oh, no.
Right.
I suppose we were St. Paul's, but really and truly, King Street wasn't really St. Paul's.
No.
It was very difficult to sort of, because St. Paul's people didn't really play with us.
Mm. So on the other side of the college, they didn't...
No, level with the college.
Right.
The one that goes up...
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, the two roads
that goes up to the church.
Yeah. They didn't actually... sort of mix with us at all.
So that was like a border.
Yeah.
Swinging
road. And with the, you were told about the black and white bus station.
Mm.
And you never went out at 2 o'clock because the buses were coming in and going out.
Right.
because we didn't have cars then anyway. But it was always busy at that time, where they were changing buses and going in and out. And but you know it.
All right. Well.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much.